Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. This week, we will review The Upside and On the Basis of Sex, debate whether the Oscars even need a host, and the majority of our show will be discussing over 30 films we're excited for in 2019. This is our 2019 release extravaganza. The curtain is up, so let's start the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'm joined today by my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. I am so excited to talk about stuff that I think I'm genuinely excited about right now, only to listen to the show next year when I have to review what it sounds like to get it all ready and decide that I was wrong the entire time.
Yeah, I did a lot of that, too. I was rehashing and like, man, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. I was really excited about that. That didn't turn out so good. But a lot of it actually was well done. And also joining us, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Hello. Well, there's a couple things I want to get to. One, the Spider-Man Far From Home, this is interesting, okay? Because when we do movies, we've got 30 movies we're going to talk about out of the hundreds. You can see the entire release for 2019 if you go to thehollywoodoutsider.com and click on this post for the 2019 extravaganza. Scroll down, all the major releases will be on there. So you can see everything. We're only going to talk about the 10 most popular on IMDb, like the most anticipated, then 5 honorable mentions, so basically the 15 most anticipated, then our top 5s each, which are 15 more movies, and still, Spider-Man Far From Home did not make anybody's list.
Look, if I would have known that Jake Gyllenhaal was going to have such a good role in this, it would have made my list.
You don't know if it's going to be a good role.
I don't care. It's Jake Gyllenhaal. That's all that matters. I'm sold. I'm 100% going to be in the theater
when
the night
guys
it opens.
Do this, we're pigs. Why is it okay when ladies do it?
No, I genuinely love him as an actor. I mean, it doesn't hurt that he's a good-looking man.
John, I didn't get any of the I love him as an actor from her original pronouncement.
No, it sounded like my panties are already flinging around over my head at the moment.
They were gone as soon as I saw his name, but that's not the point here.
were they white? They're like the surrender flag?
Yeah.
I give up, Jake Gyllenhaal. Well, anyway, so Spider-Man Far From Home, John, you're obviously we've heard from Amanda.
I do excitement. Think it looks good.
Yeah, that's what we heard. We heard you're really concerned about the quality of the film. John, what did you think about this one?
Spoilers. I mean, apparently he's not a mountain of sand anymore.
Do you think it's weird they dropped the trailer before Endgame comes out?
Just a little bit. We all knew he was going to be fine. We know that all our favorites are going to be fine. It's weird, but I don't know. You can't beat him up too much for it. We all knew the movie was coming.
Is there a possibility that this didn't take place after?
No. They said that it. I think Kevin Feige confirmed that this does take place after Endgame.
Maybe it's an alternate universe. Maybe it's in the
Spider-Verse. You know, some people still haven't watched Infinity War, so they don't even know why it's a problem. They're the ones that are going to be really shocked.
That's their problem.
What if they don't see Infinity War and then they go to see Endgame?
Awkward.
And they just figure like it's a totally separate movie. I didn't need to see that one.
Why would you assume that? That's a weird assumption to make.
People are busy. They have lives.
No, they don't. Not when it comes to Marvel, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No.
They're DC fans do.
There's not that many of them.
They're busy
though.
Watching Titans on whatever that streaming service is. All right, so
DC streaming service.
couple big points I think is important. Netflix is raising their prices. Probably already have been if you're listening to this for a lot of folks. I think overseas it's not hitting everybody.
It's just US, yeah.
Yeah, it's going up $2. So if you're planning on canceling your service, throw that money you're saving at us. At patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Wow. That's what I'm going for.
Well done.
Shameless. Yeah, you like that?
Bravo.
Thank you. It's $2, people. You're going to be fine.
I'm still going to pay, but also now I'm glad you made me aware of that because I definitely wouldn't know.
Budget for that $2?
You never know.
That's just a newspaper you don't have to buy in the year. In the
newspaper?
Month.
Who buys a newspaper? It's called
exactly.
The internet.
Exactly. You don't need those at that $2.
Old people.
Look, some people are on a tight budget. Maybe they do need the $2. They're like, that's my water for the week.
Yeah, most people will give up water before they give up Netflix.
Disagree.
Good point.
Disagree. I would totally give up water first if I could. You can drink tea. There's plenty of other
liquids.
That's
what he's saying.
That's what I just said.
Is it?
Are you present?
No, not really. All right. Moving on, since nobody threw that $2 our way, Mission Impossible has locked Christopher McQuarrie, the director of Rogue Nation and Fallout, to write and direct two more Mission Impossible flicks that will shoot back to back. They're going to do the Avengers thing where one comes out after the next one. It's going to be 2020 and 2021 when they come out. This is one series that seems to get better with age. John, where do you land with Mission Impossible? Are you glad? Yeah, I said John, Amanda, because you don't like Tom Cruise, so we're going to John. What did you feel about Mission Impossible getting two more flicks? Do you think this series is done? Or are you like, yeah, throw Tom off another building?
I want to see Tom get thrown off another building. It's time for us to get more of this. I mean, I really dig it. I'm really happy with everything we've gotten for Mission Impossible. I do think we might be getting to that point when Tom Cruise has to like back off being Ethan Hunt and let somebody else basically be the quote unquote Ethan Hunt. We're getting really close to that.
Right.
But maybe doing two movies back to back, 2020 and 2021, that might be the perfect time to do the handoff to somebody who can like jump off a building and not break a leg. But I'm still there for it. As long as the person has half the ability to do the stunts like Tom Cruise, and then probably twice the charisma of Tom Cruise, which isn't that hard of a combination, right?
I disagree.
Nah.
Tom Cruise has all the charisma you need.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of a pretzel.
Pretzels are delicious. And, you know, just like Tom Cruise, they go wonderful with cheese.
That was terrible.
No, he's cheesy sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah, when he jumps on a couch.
Okay, but side note, back to
praise the new or whatever the hell that is.
Back to this whole Mission Impossible thing. Don't you think that it's like a little too close to the other ones, though? As a fan. Okay, I guess
not. No. We've got like 64 Marvel movies every year. What do you mean too close?
But even with Star Wars, people are like, I'm getting tired of this being boom, boom, boom. But
Star Wars.
Right. No, it's because we haven't really gotten a great Star Wars movie since Force Awakens. It's like been Force Awakens, and then everything else has been kind of... Force Awakens, Rogue One was pretty great, but everything else has been kind of like, huh?
Okay. Strongly disagree for one. For two, at least Star Wars has a story that is going somewhere.
Mission Impossible is going somewhere.
Where?
Up in the air. It's going.
And then down to the ground, into the core of the earth, and hopefully back out
quarries.
Into the space to explode.
Look, I can't argue story because I don't even know what most of the plots are.
There isn't one. It's just for Tom Cruise to do
stunts. People love them. People love
these
movies.
They like the action. And I'm not arguing that. That's what Tom Cruise is good at, is doing stunts.
Intrigue.
Of what?
Not intrigued. Intrigue. The spy stuff. Intrigue.
You keep on saying that word, and you keep saying that it's different, but it's not different. It's the same word each time.
Intrigue. You know, I like intrigue. I like when you've got a little the spy stuff, and you got political intrigue, and you've got whatever the underlying...
He just wants to say this word. That's really all it is.
Screw all you.
Did you just find this in the dictionary today?
We need to move on.
Is this the word of the day?
We need to move on. Mission Impossible will be here by the time this podcast comes out. There'll be a third movie, probably. These two. So we'll get more of them. And I think they should end it at that, though. I love Christopher McQuarrie, though. I would much rather he did another Jack Reacher movie, but that's beside the point. The first one was great.
The second one was good, too.
It wasn't as good, though. That's the problem.
Well, the second one, you start seeing him do things when you go, huh, you know, I buy that for a guy who's 6'6". I don't buy that for a guy who's 5'2".
He's got a point.
He's a scrapper. He can fight in places other guys can't.
He's like fighting a lawn chair.
Yeah, he's dig punching every time he hits. So, because he's already there.
Yeah.
Because he's small, like he's pocket size. And this is actually a cool little fact that we learned as we were getting ready to record. But Ghostbusters is getting revamped. Jason Reitman is actually going to be directing a film on Ghostbusters. It's supposed to be the next evolution from the original franchise. So we're actually getting a new Ghostbusters movie, not based on the reboot. It's completely part of that original franchise because Jason Reitman is the son of Ivan Reitman. So we've got a lot to talk about, but I just kind of wanted to throw that tidbit out there because that's something we did not expect or plan for, but we'll come to find out once we have more details about it, but it's going to be set in the world that the original series was based in. This is long after they saved New York City both times. So it should be pretty interesting to see what happens. I don't know if the original cast is going to come back or what, but Jason Reitman is taking the reins. Anyway, so we're going to move on to the last news point that we got to talk about. This is more of a discussion point before we get to our anticipated movies. The Oscars have elected for the first time in 30 years to forego having a host. I don't want to get into the politics of all that because people listening are sick of that. Let's talk about the good and the bad of this. Do award shows technically even need a host, man? What do you think? Think they need one?
I prefer there to be somebody who's kind of the leader, who's making things move and keep things going fluidly and checking on things. And it's that one person that you kind of go back to that makes the jokes and gives you a break. Whereas when you have the little side hosts who do more of the presenters, that's really just for a category. It's not necessarily to kind of maintain the composure of the show. But I still think they can make anything work. It is the Oscars.
Did she just say something and not completely commit to either answer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking. I'm on the side that nothing really actually needs a host. You can have presenters. You can have show ran by somebody in the corner who's saying, okay, you go up there, monkey, and you dance, and you go and you say a couple cool words, and you do this. And when I think about something like this, I think about a lot like Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal and Robin Williams doing something together, where there's not necessarily, sure, you can say they're all three the hosts, but there's not necessarily one person that you're using to guide you through something, where you have three people who bounce off each other, and then you could throw on somebody else and that person's mixing in, and eventually stops becoming, whether you have a host and presenters and all this other stuff, and just becomes a show. And I'm okay with that.
I am fine with this if it makes it shorter. Get to the point. Yeah. I don't need, like, I love the Oscars, man. I love them. Everybody that's ever listened to this podcast, you know, I love the Oscars. I love them.
It's a Super Bowl, everyone. It's a Super Bowl.
It is my Super Bowl. Do I say that every year? I feel like I do.
Yes, it is. Yes, you do.
You shut up.
But he also celebrates the Super Bowl as the Super Bowl. So really, he has two events a year.
That's so I can have people bring me food. And then the Oscars is so I can partake in
giving people food?
No, just really serving
myself. When do you serve food?
I serve people at the Super Bowl party.
You said people bring you food for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they bring their own dish.
They bring him food, but then he serves it, so he gets to take credit for it.
So it's my party. Look what I gave you. Look at this. It's like being a king.
Look what I've brought everyone together. I got a smorgasbord of food. I got tacos over here, buffalo wings over there, half-eaten pizza over here.
You're welcome.
I've done this for you.
I am Robert Baratheon. Congratulations.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I do think the show could stand to be a little shorter. I'm fine. You know what I would like them to do? Anytime somebody gives a political speech, they just eject them and make it shorter that way. Just right out there. Like the old Bond car, just right through the roof. Get rid of it. You don't even get to keep your award. Boom, right through the roof, you're out. Outside of that, I don't need a host. I mean, it does make it more fun. I think it kind of ties everything together. But you can have the people presenting do the same thing. And then you get a little bit more of a variety. It becomes a variety show.
Okay, going back to the length of the show. Every year,
last
everybody
year
complains
about it. Last year was 64 hours. I timed it. It was 64 hours. I did it by metric.
You're not very good at that then.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was like 3 or 3.5 hours. It is very long. I'm not saying it's not.
It was 4 hours.
Okay, 4 hours still. That's fine. That's 4 hours. That's only half a work day. It's not that bad. That's almost how long a Super Bowl game is, including the halftime show.
But there's commercials that you enjoy.
But there's people who are presenting that I enjoy.
Okay.
I'm just saying once a year, it's 4 hours for one time a year where you get to fully just, even though it is long, expect that to be long, anticipate that to be long, enjoy the length of it, because it's only going to happen once a year. And at this rate, they can't even get a host. Who knows if they're going to keep getting presenters? There might not be an Oscars in 5 years.
Who would even want that? People were screaming, I would do it, but there are a lot of skeletons in my closet too that would come up. How can you expect anyone in Hollywood to take that gig when there's nobody in Hollywood? It's a lot of narcissists. You know, there's a few good ones. I'm not saying they're not nice narcissists. They're not good narcissists, but, you know, they're kind of, they've all done and said things they'd rather not admit to.
They're human.
Well, this is how they do it. All right. I just got this big job that I've always wanted. Cool. Next step, Twitter, delete.
True.
Yeah.
But then there's somebody who's already like taken screenshots of everything crazy you've ever said. And why do they keep...
Well, then that person gets a cookie.
Why do they keep going on Twitter? That's a bigger question. Why do they even bother with it?
I wouldn't.
I mean, I feel like they have to for publicity's sake. At the same time,
you don't... Publicitist.
Publicitist? Very good.
Get a publicist.
This is why they're famous and we're not. Because we say things like publicitist. Hashtag. Can you hashtag a word that doesn't exist?
We can now.
Hashtag.
We can make it work.
Publicitist.
Every word's made up.
I don't even remember what... I heard that somewhere. Where did I hear that? I heard that somewhere.
It's in a movie somewhere.
John? Yeah. Right now?
No, but they can't find... My point is they can't find anyone that doesn't have...
Dirt. I know where it's from. It's from Avengers Infinity War. Thor says it.
Okay.
When they're going to the forge and they're like, that's a made-up word. And he turns around and says, every word's made up.
True. Good call. I didn't really care where it came from. I just was
John really thought about it, okay?
He contemplated. Anyway, can any celebrity even take that gig? Because they can't... None of them are going to have a clean record. Some of them, every one of them, even Tom Hanks has done something that he doesn't want to.
Okay, shut your mouth. Tom Hanks hasn't, number one. Number two, Thor was funny when he said that line, and it was just awesome.
We get it, John. It was funny.
Okay, so who's for a host and who doesn't care? Amanda, where do you stand?
I'm on both.
Okay.
I don't care, but I prefer the host, but I don't care.
Okay, pick a side, though. If you have your preference, what's your preference?
Not the world isn't all black and white, Aaron. Sometimes it's gray.
This is the problem with the world currently. Nobody can make a decision. They just want
No, the world is actually very black and white these days. We need more gray. We need more. There's more to the story.
From what I hear, if you work at GameStop, there's no gray areas, according to the internet. So, John, where do you stand?
I don't care.
Oh, Jesus, you people.
You didn't give him another option other than host and I don't care.
Right. My option was host or I don't care.
Okay. Host or no host? What's your preference?
My preference? No host. If I have to choose one.
Okay. I go host.
I go host.
None of this. You just said you didn't care.
But also, so did John. But also, I do prefer the host.
Mate, I can't even keep up with you. Your decisions aren't decisions.
I'm a woman. Let me be.
I can't argue with that.
Girl, you got the devil in you. No craps.
Did my voice get that much deeper?
No, but you just giggled like a 12-year-old.
That's how I laugh, Aaron, okay?
Oh, sorry, then that's probably offensive. All right, so now we're going to go to the most anticipated movies. Now, we're going to start with IMDb's 10 most anticipated movies.
And you're
movies.
Talking about me with publicists.
You know what? Don't judge, Amanda. Life is full of gray areas. IMDb took a poll of their 250 million followers. That's what they claim they have. That's a lot of people that can't remember actors' names. And what they did was...
I'm one of them.
I know, me too. Go there every day. They asked them what their most anticipated movies were, and they rounded down to their top 10. Now, we tacked on to that the five additional ones that we feel that we thought would be on the list but weren't. So those are going to be kind of honorable mentions. So, Amanda, we're going to take these one by one. You get to read them off because you're empowered, you're female, you speak better than I. What else can I do to...
I don't know, but I like these compliments. Keep going.
I'm trying to get out of any future trouble I might have, so I can always point back. Like that one time I was really nice to women on the show. See? That sounded like a fake laugh.
It absolutely was. But we are going to start with the... I'm going to start with the honorable mentions. We'll get those out of the way.
I just said that for like 5 minutes.
Well, first you said we were going to start with the top 10, but then you added on the honorable mentions. I'm saying honorable mentions first.
I feel like I just said that.
That's fine. Now okay. I'm repeating it.
Okay.
The Lion King.
What's going on right now?
A whole lot of nonsense. Yeah. The Lion King, which is the CGI reimagining of the 1994 Disney classic, where a lion cub crown prince is tricked by a treacherous uncle into thinking he caused his father's death and flees into exile in despair, only to learn in adulthood his identity and his responsibilities, which is really sad.
Hello.
It's directed by Jon Favreau. Did I say his name right? I hope so.
Favreau.
I've heard it both ways. Okay. But it stars Donald Glover and Seth Rogen, and James Earl Jones is returning as Mufasa, which is incredible.
And weird.
And awesome. And it comes out July 19th.
A little odd.
Johnny, how do you feel about this reimagining happening?
Well, I actually, I was against it at first, but especially when everyone was like, it's going to be live action Lion King. And no, it's CGI, so it's not live action. So stop calling it that. And it looks like they have, so I'm happy with that. The cast, I think, is a lot of fun. Donald Glover being Simba is something I'm looking forward to. The fact that they got Beyonce to be Nala, they're cheating. And Donald Glover's about to get, you know, that's the closest he's ever going to get to the queen, I guess. That's all right. I'm excited, though. I'm really, I'm down for it.
Aaron? I'm going to see it.
You sound so mad about it.
It just doesn't... From the trailer I saw, they just showed basically a reenactment of the cartoon, and I'd rather watch the cartoon. I know it sounds weird, but I would rather watch the cartoon.
Well, I mean, it does say it's a reimagining, so it's like scene for scene.
I don't need a reimagining shot for shot. But they said it won't be shot for shot. You know, they'll give like one different look at the sky or something.
It'll be a different song.
Because Elton John's like, no, you can't use it twice. No.
Huh. Right.
One and done. Well, then we have Star Wars Episode 9, which I can't believe did not make the top 10, but I...
Me either, dude. I was shocked. Shocked.
I'm fine.
John, why do you hate on the Star Wars?
You used to be a huge Star Wars fan.
Used to be.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. Well, this is the final installment of the Skywalker saga, and it will come out on December 20th. But I did read some information about this movie because there's not much more to the plot other than that. But apparently Abrams said that he wants to go beyond and do better than what they did in 7, which hopefully means that they're not just going to kind of recreate things like they did in the 7th one with The Force Awakens. But apparently the actors have been allowed to improvise a little bit this time around. And even Oscar Isaac has said that it feels a little bit looser on set. So I think that's kind of nice to see them be able to do some improvisation on set.
No, no, it's not. It's this isn't like a Farrelly comedy. I really, it's not Naked Gun. I don't want improvisation. I want them to know what the hell the story is supposed to be.
I trust Oscar Isaac to improv himself.
Look, I don't know where I stand. I really dug Force Awakens. I thought Last Jedi had some really good moments. The story was a little what? But overall, it's not a bad movie. I don't understand the hate that movie gets. I don't know. I'm torn. I am torn. Solo was very mediocre to me. I thought that was just not a good movie. I really felt like Star Wars could have done better. Rogue One was great the second hour. The first hour took forever. I'm not convinced that they know what they're doing yet. I just feel like it's been all over. I haven't had a great Star Wars movie of the recent iterations. So I'm excited in Leary. It's going to be another case of they're going to get you with nostalgia. Everything that has worked great has been based on nostalgia. And that's not what I want. I want to see new worlds, new stories, new... I want my breath taken away with something that hasn't been told before, with an actor we haven't seen before, in a role we haven't seen before. I don't want to have my stomach hurt because something happens to Princess Leia, because that's not fair. It's kind of cheap in a way. And Harrison Ford... Okay, you're playing off nostalgia. You know that yes, it works, but it's time for something new. Give me something new. Stop playing off nostalgia. So I'm excited, but I want them to do something different that we haven't seen before. And J.J. Abrams is more a guy who's going to give you what you want as opposed to go a different way, which at least Rian Johnson tried.
I really enjoyed Force Awakens. The last one I was okay with. Han Solo, I found moments to really appreciate. I'm dubious about this. I'm dubious about this because the stories that we're getting are rehashes where they could have found better ways to tell these stories. They have a whole catalog of a history in books that they could have pulled from to create a story kind of like what they have here and still been able to make a world with new characters, new places, new things. And yet it does feel like they took several steps back instead of moving forward. And that's the reason why I'm dubious. I don't doubt that J.J. Abrams is going to bring us something good. I just wish it was, or I already wish it was better compared to what we've already gotten.
And there's a lot of people that love these new movies, and I'm happy for them, and nobody's poo-pooing your beloved franchise. God bless Star Wars. It's sacred. We get it. Just an opinion. Where do you stay, Amanda?
I'm excited for them. I'm going to see them no matter what. I liked Solo a lot. I enjoyed the...
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I'm just checking.
Yeah. I did not like Rogue One.
Did you like how he got his name? That was really cool.
That was that was so dumb. It was dumb. No, that was one of the cheesiest pieces in a movie I've seen in a long time.
Years.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was just lazy writing on that part. But I've enjoyed the other ones. Aside from Rogue One, I've enjoyed them all quite a bit. I also know I can get wrapped in by nostalgia and brand.
Fan goggles.
Yep, fan goggles. So as long as I'm entertained, that's what matters to me. I guess I don't necessarily need incredible storytelling from this franchise at this point, because I've already had incredible storytelling from it before. So I don't know. I guess I just don't expect anything to be drastically different. And I don't know how I would feel if they changed the universe for me with these characters that we already knew.
Well, they tried in the last movie and there was revolt because people wanted what they wanted as opposed to what they got.
Yeah, no, they're not going to win no matter what they do.
I agree with that. I mean, the fandom is so amped up for just amped up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, hopefully you guys are more excited about this one. John Wick Chapter 3.
Woo! That's my excited voice.
I like it.
What he said.
It's the third installment of the adrenaline-fueled action franchise where super assassin John Wick, Keanu Reeves, returns with a $14 million price tag on his head and an army of bounty hunting killers on his trail. That was me singing. It's not very good. I apologize. After killing a member of the shadowy International Assassins Guild, the High Table, John Wick is excommunicado, is what IMDb says. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a word.
That's a word.
I thought it was excommunicated, but okay. But the world's most ruthless hitmen and women await his every turn. Dun, dun, dun. So really, he's just going to kill people, and I love it.
Just looking at the cast, I am excited. Ian McShane's coming back. Jason Mantzoukas, I couldn't believe that I saw his name on here.
Wait, what? What? Rafi's in this?
That made me excited.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I did not know Rafi was going to be in this. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, his character, TikTok man. Oh, come on.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sold.
That was the easiest sell ever.
I was already going.
Okay.
Yeah, I was, you know, all I needed to know was I was see Keanu Reeves and cuddle with a pit bull. All right, I'll go.
I hope they don't kill this dog.
May 17th, you'll find out.
Oh, man, I will be there with bells. I hope it's an IMAX.
Mm.
I still say Keanu Reeves, outside of this franchise, cannot make a hit movie to save his life.
Replicas. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you saw Replicas. Was that bad? That was bad, right?
He wasn't, but the movie was really stupid and it was horribly paced.
Yeah.
You have this sounds set up like in 5 minutes, and then your first, I don't know, I feel like you hit the midpoint within 20 minutes, and it just keeps on going and going and going.
It's perfectly acceptable, Amanda, for you to say it was bad.
It was bad, but he was not.
There you go.
No. Okay.
Full stop.
Anyway, outside of John Wick, he is fantastic, and I wish more people would utilize him this way. He is the, for my money, the best physical actor working today.
Mm, yep.
Not in a how he looks.
I didn't
looks.
Mean it like...
I just mean
oh
how...
Oh my God. No, that's exactly what that sound sounds like. I feel dirty.
I was just agreeing with him.
I just mean how he moves, how he orchestrates
cool.
his choreography, how he flows. He is the best physical actor for my money working today. And these movies take full advantage of that. I can't wait for John Wick. And I hope they do kill the dog so he kills more people.
I don't want him to have to endure that again.
He's cooler when he's sad. He lost his car, he kicks so much ass. He lost his dog, he kicks so much ass. Please make him sad.
He's already a badass from losing the first dog and the first car.
Keep him sad. He cannot be happy. As soon as he's happy, this franchise is over, and I don't want that. So, come on.
Is he Angel?
Yes. Yeah, he's the vampire.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't age, for Christ's sake.
There's a little meme out there of him. It looks like a picture of him from like 1883. It's kind of funny.
It's probably accurate.
Does look like him, actually.
He's a freaking vampire. I admire him and hate him at the same time.
Well, on a completely unrelated note, Toy Story 4 is coming out on June 21st when a new toy called Forky, and this was a poor choice, joins Woody and the gang. A road trip alongside old and new friends reveals how big the world can be for a toy. Joining the toys is Keanu Reeves and Patricia Arquette.
I will call this Nostalgia the Movie, because that's really what this whole thing is banking on. This is a movie that was made because Disney needed their own island. They needed to pay for that Star Wars park they're building, and Star Wars wasn't making as much as they thought it would, so they're making Toy Story 4. I didn't need it. Toy Story 3 ended absolutely perfectly. So when I say I'm not excited, it's not because I'm not excited. I love this franchise. I genuinely do. They better nail this. Because if they had to come back, that's going to piss me off and so many fans off, because the ending of Toy Story 3 is one of the best finales of any series in history. I will go on record. That's what I'm saying.
Mic drop.
What else can I say? I didn't see Toy Story 3, so I don't care.
Blasphemy.
Why do you hate it? Why do you hate wood, E?
Why do you hate life or yourself?
Because I'm a monster.
I feel like it just got so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on a happier note, Fast and the Furious, Hobbs and Shaw, which I think you both are excited for.
Dude, I am pumping up iron. I am doing push-ups right now, getting ready. I am lathering up in butter and oil. I am ready.
Why butter?
Butter and oil. Both of them are things that make you glisten on screen. And that's what I assume that both of those men just rub themselves down with. Maybe I'm thinking too hard about it, but that's what I've got.
Like popcorn butter? Or like, I can't believe it's not butter butter.
Well, that's not butter. Because I can't
believe... That's a fair question.
It's still a question.
Whichever one glistens more. I don't know how I have to apply them. I'll have to have Rock come over and show me what he puts on himself.
I think it's just baby oil. Maybe Vaseline. But then he's like sticky or something.
Vaseline is not sticky.
It's like that's gooey.
So I heard.
Well, this one comes out on August 2nd. It's a spinoff of The Fate of the Furious, and it focuses on Johnson's U.S. diplomatic security agent Luke Hobbs forming an unlikely alliance with Statham's Deckard Shaw. So I think it's safe to assume everybody in the world is excited for this.
Not Vin Diesel.
I was going to say, except for, you know, especially with the drama that we've heard behind the doors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually excited to see Vanessa Kirby show up in this. She was also in the most recent Mission Impossible, and she was actually a joy to watch in that, and I want to see what she does in this.
She was great. She was so enigmatic in Mission Impossible. I love seeing her on screen. I would love to see
Which
her.
One is she?
She was daughter of... What was her character's
name? Of Max.
Yes, of Max.
She was the White Widow.
We'll move on to our top 10 movies of... the IMDb picks, which is, as Aaron already said, the listeners who put in what they wanted to see most out of 2019. Number 10 is Hellboy, which comes out on April 12th. Based on the graphic novels by Mike Mignola, Hellboy, caught between the worlds of the supernatural and human, battles an ancient sorceress bent on revenge. Stars David Harbour and Mila Jovovich.
I am excited. I can't wait for this. The first trailer looked like a lot of fun. It looks like they're going to add a bit more of a tongue-in-cheekness to this that the first two movies didn't have. Not that there was anything wrong with the first two movies. Those were great, and I love those two, but I'm excited to see this whole experience. Especially, do you guys actually know, here's something that I can bring to the table on this, do you guys know how Hellboy came about?
Nope.
The comic or the movie?
The comic, like the character of Hellboy.
Uh-uh.
So Mike Mignola was at a comic convention, and somebody came up to him and said, "Hey, I want you to draw me a picture." And he said, "Okay, what do you want? Batman, Superman, what do you want? I got it all." And the guy says, "Just make something up for me." And that's what he made. The first drawing. That's how the first drawing of Hellboy was done.
That's pretty exciting.
That's really cool. I hope that guy kept that forever.
No, he uses his toilet paper.
Well, I mean, hopefully he didn't try to sell it.
Is anybody concerned that it should have just been Ron Perlman? I mean, now that I've seen the trailer, because they kept saying, hey, we're going to make something different and we're going to make something unique. And John, you're a fan of the first two. I know I was too. It feels like he's just doing a Ron Perlman impression.
Can you tell the two apart under the mask?
That's my point. I can't tell the two apart. So why wouldn't they just have Ron Perlman? Why did they have to go with a whole new actor? Just because Ron Perlman's 112 and they're afraid he's going to in any minute or what?
You know, Tom Cruise couldn't have made it across that building.
He's got a point.
I don't understand your point. Oh, because he's old. I gotcha.
Okay. Right.
Okay. All right. They needed young. It's all about the youth. I got it. I'm excited for it. I like the franchise, so I'll see it.
Aren't people also obsessed with David right now?
Harbour?
Yeah, because of Stranger Things.
Well, how the hell would you know it's David Harbour? You can't tell.
Well, no, but you know by the name. You know it's not Ron Perlman.
I think he looks like Ron Perlman. Ron Perlman looks like that. If you put horns on him right now, just if he held him over his head, I would be convinced that's Hellboy. David Harbour, he could disappear. Wouldn't know.
I don't know. I didn't really care for the Hellboy movie. I only saw the first one. I didn't really care for it. So I'm hoping seeing something new and refreshing.
It's not going to be different.
Well, I mean, maybe David Harbour will bring something different to it.
Is it going to be a friendly, happy?
It's not about Hellboy? Being friendly and happy. I like dark. I like horror. I like thriller. Then it just did not. I think Ron Perlman really just didn't do it for me.
Okay.
So.
I'm just going to say okay.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Is okay equal to you're a disappointment, get off the show right now?
Yes.
Well, okay. You're clearly a disappointment, but that's okay.
Well, I'm glad it's okay.
At least you can laugh about it. That's fun.
Yeah,
that's positive. Fun. That's spinning it into a positive.
Number 9, Aladdin, which comes out on May 24th, is a live retelling of the 1992 classic. Yes, Disney's at it again.
They got 3 this year.
They do. One right after
what
another.
Year is it?
Were we supposed to say something after that?
I don't understand.
I was just doing it. There's an awesome meme right now that has all these movies that are being remade up on like a movie thing.
Oh, and
And then it's Robin Williams just spit out of Jumanji, and he's like, "What year is it?"
I do know what you're talking about.
That's a second meme reference. How about we stop with memes because we're audio?
People can Google them.
No.
No. Okay.
You know, the people who've seen the memes are laughing because it's an inside joke between me and them.
Well, I hope all three of those people are having a great day.
That's like millions of people. 3 million people.
They aren't listening to Hollywood Outsider.
They might after they hear this meme.
What is Aladdin about?
When a street rat, Aladdin frees a genie from a lamp. He finds his wishes granted. However, he soon finds that the evil has other plans for the lamp and for Princess Jasmine. But can Aladdin save Princess Jasmine and his love for her after she sees that he isn't quite what he appears to be? Will Smith is playing our Aladdin and has also kind of gotten a lot of controversy for playing this character because
playing the genie.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You said Aladdin.
Oh, I did. Playing the genie. My bad.
Well, then he would get controversy because he's way too old for that role.
Playing the genie. And Naomi Scott is our Princess Jasmine.
I don't have a problem with Will Smith at all.
Well, that's good.
I feel sad that I've lived long enough to where Will Smith is being bet against. I feel like that's a bad moment in time that I just don't want any part of. I don't need an Aladdin remake, but at least this, I know I'm getting something different because Robin Williams made the cartoon. This is Will Smith, which means totally different interpretation. So I will check it out.
I'm going to check it out too. I'm in for it. I'm good.
I actually think it looks pretty good from what you can see. And
you can't see anything. They showed you a lamp.
They have posters and stuff like that. And you can see little pictures of, I guess they're not little pictures. They're not like midget pictures. But there's photos on the internet of them in costume.
They just take pictures and they shrink them.
Yes.
And like, if you really want to see it, you got to get really close to your computer.
Honey, I shrunk the images.
Oh, no, no.
That was bad.
It was, but you did it.
Just as bad as number 8, Joker, which comes out on October 4th.
Wow.
A failed stand-up comedian is driven insane and becomes a psychopathic murderer. It has Joaquin Phoenix, so maybe it won't be too bad. And Robert De Niro was written and directed by Todd Phillips. How are you guys feeling about this?
Disappointed. This is one of those things where I want to like shake somebody at DC Universe's, like grab them by the shoulders and shake them as to what's the matter with you. Because this is now, if they find a way to add this into the DC Universe, which it looks like it's not that at all, then fine, I'll be okay with it. But it's just one of these things where I don't want to see something that's separate from the rest of the movies that we're getting, especially after Aquaman. This is annoying.
I am coming around to it.
Are you?
Look, it's Joaquin Phoenix. The guy can, he does weird stuff and it works sometimes. And most of the time it works. Mm. I was against it. I was like you. And then I grew because I believe the world is full of gray areas, Amanda. And sometimes you need to embrace the gray area. This was a movie that scared, that just made no sense to me. I don't see the point of it. Da 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 da. But then I saw Venom, which I really dug. I never wanted to see a full Venom movie. And then I saw it and I really enjoyed it. And now I'm sitting there going, you know what? I have been saying for years, I wanted DC to be different than Marvel. I don't want them to follow the same path that Marvel does. And here they are doing that exact same thing that I was talking about that I wanted. So how can I bitch about it? So I'm going to give it a fair shot. I dug Suicide Squad. I didn't love it, but dug it. I like when DC goes dark. So I'm going to see what they do.
I'm not going in with high expectations, but of course I'll see it just to kind of see what they're doing in that world. But I feel like they've disappointed me enough with the Joker recently that I'm really not sure I want to try to risk it again.
You know what would be worse is if I got that as a solo movie. Whatever the hell Jared Leto was doing, if we got that as this role alone. Because if I had that as a solo movie, I would be very disappointed.
Oh.
Would not be a fan.
Well, how about number 7, Glass, which comes out January 18th?
We'll have spoiler cast for next week.
Oh, we will.
Temptation. Unless it really sucks.
Then maybe we won't. Yeah. But it comes out on January 18th. It's the culmination of M. Night Shyamalan's series from Unbreakable and Split and now moves into Glass. Stars Sam Jackson, Bruce Willis, James McAvoy, and Anya Taylor-Joy, where security guard David Dunn, who is Bruce Willis's character, uses his supernatural abilities to track Kevin Wendell Crumb, a disturbed man who has 24 personalities. And that's James McAvoy's character from Split. Mm-hmm. So now they're all coming together. If you saw the end of Split, you're finally getting to see why he did this, why he's bringing these characters together.
I am excited for Glass, just because you're going to get these people all together. I already know Bruce Willis is going to be just a piece of furniture, because that's what he does now.
He's a lampshade.
And you know what's funny? John, you're going to get a kick out of this. So I just rewatched Unbreakable, which is almost 20 years old now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time before I watched it, I'm like, I can't wait to see Bruce Willis back at his high point. Because that was really kind of his acting high point after mm-hmm. Sixth Sense and stuff. He was Pulp Fiction, movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was acting. The performance in Unbreakable, I know people love it and they rave about it. But if you really go back and watch it, it's basically what he's been doing for the last several years. He's just lounging around and taking forever to speak, and he's kind of lethargic. I don't know. I feel like he needs medication. I feel like he should be.
He's iron deficient.
Something. There's just no trace of old Bruce Willis. And I know part of that is the character, but it isn't like he's gotten more energetic with age, you know? So I'm really leery of his performance. McAvoy always brings it. Mm-hmm. Jackson always brings it. I don't care what Shyamalan Ding Dong comes up with. This will be a movie that I think wins or loses based on Jackson and McAvoy. And I can't wait to see it, but that's what I feel is going to be. And by the way, Unbreakable is not a great movie. Great concept, not a great movie. Good movie.
It was a great movie for the time.
No. Uh-uh. No.
Fight, 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 fight.
I just don't agree with it. And people rave about it now. I think it's just, you know, it's revisionist history, man. I rewatched it and it's still way too slow, way too leisurely paced, just way too slow.
Well, I love Split. I loved Unbreakable, and I am looking forward to this, even if I'm a little concerned.
What are you concerned about?
Well, everything you talked about. The primary thing you talked about, which is Bruce Willis. How are we supposed to, who's supposed to be the hero of the story? So how am I supposed to get behind him if he is doing that just turn slowly and stare thing at you?
Is nobody else worried about Shyamalan? Shyamalan and Ding Dong?
Yes, but I'm more worried about Willis.
I mean, that's fair, but I just haven't heard any concerns about
him. I don't feel like we're going to get another Happening. The guy learned his lesson.
Lady in the Water, The Village. There's so many bad ones that I'm just like,
I actually liked The Village and Lady in the Water.
That's too bad for you.
I apologize for your eyeballs.
How does it feel to always be on the side of wrong?
Kind of good.
That's good.
Well, number 6 is It Chapter 2, which is coming out on September 16th. You did. I think you peed a little.
I dinkled.
27 years later, the Losers Club have grown up and moved away until a devastating phone call brings them back. It's directed by Andy Muschietti, written by Gary Dauberman. I have no idea how to say these people's names. And stars, again, Mr. James McAvoy, Jessica Chastain, Bill Skarsgård. I know I said his name wrong, but everybody else
does.
No,
that's right.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, go me. I'm proud of that. Sophia Lillis, Finn Wolfhart, and Bill Hader. So it's got a solid cast. Mm-hmm.
I am here for it. I love the first movie we got. I thought it was great. So I'm excited to see what they do here.
Yeah, it's it. It's it. There's really nothing to talk about here. Do you want to see them all grown up? Yes. Okay.
Did you like the first one? Okay. Is the casting here great?
I love the first one. I thought they did a fantastic job. I can't wait to see what the only sad part is. I'm not going to have as much time with the kids because those actors did a great job.
Seriously, I hope somehow
we'll have flashbacks.
We can
Well, you got Finn Wolfhard, so there's going to be some flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Only he's like 46 years old now. So, I mean, he looks much older now than he did when that came out.
He's aged progressively
he's
through
matured.
His puberty. Matured.
He's matured. Stranger Things, I believe he's playing a Walmart employee. I mean, he's aged a lot.
Well, I think it looks great as well. The Irishman is coming out on Netflix. I can't believe a Netflix movie is on
top
here.
Top of the morning to you.
On an IMDb top 10 list of all of 2019, a Netflix movie.
Did you notice who's in it?
Well, it's got Robert De Niro, Jesse Plemons, and Al Pacino.
And Joe Pesci.
Oh, did not see mm-hmm. that one. So, okay.
Yeah, the cast for this is kind of amazing. You got Harvey Keitel, Jack Houston. Everybody's kind of Anna Paquin's making an appearance again. Ray Romano.
He's a good actor, actually. Dramatic actor.
Yeah, he is.
He's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's based on a book by Charles Brandt, and a mob hitman recalls his possible involvement with the slaying of Jimmy Hoffa. Mm. Do you guys know? Are you familiar with Jimmy?
Heard. Are you legitimately asking us?
No,
okay.
I'm joking. Right. I was trying. This is me trying to do my impression. Do you know Jimmy?
Are you Dracula?
That was terrible.
That was pretty bad. The Italians are offended. Nice job. The entire state of New Jersey, they just got pissed at you. You know what I mean?
Do you know Jimmy, though?
Yeah, I know Jimmy. He's a good guy. He's disappeared. We can't find him.
What the hell is happening right now?
I'm trying to up my impressions, and they're really awful.
It's directed by Martin Scorsese. That's really why
people are...
That cast, that director... All of that is why people are so excited about it. I can't wait to see. I'm pumped, man. That's a great cast, great director. Don't care what it's about. I'm going to watch it. Those movies, that cast always work. Those directors.
This is why our Netflix subscriptions are going up $2.
Exactly.
And it's worth it.
Best $2 I ever spent.
Heck yeah.
Joe Pesci's coming out of retirement and it's not for Snickers?
Maybe that's what actually got him out. They're like, if you come do this, we'll give you 2 Snickers.
Have you seen him? He's found him. He's getting him on his own.
Well, another movie that is selling just by the name, the director,
my
the cast.
Most anticipated movie of the year.
Ooh, is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Comes out August 9th. It is written and directed by the Quentin Tarantino and is stacked with a full cast, including, but is not limited to, Margot Robbie, Leonardo DiCaprio. Sorry, Leo. I love you.
Maybe you shouldn't have read these.
I know. So bad. Mm. Brad Pitt, Dakota Fanning, Al Pacino, Kurt Russell, Timothy Oliphant. I didn't hear anything from Aaron. Okay. Tim Roth, Emily Hirsch, and James Marsden.
Everybody. I'm going to squeal over everybody. Everybody. That's the best cast he's ever had.
You didn't even like.
Because everybody else is so amazing.
What? That they equal to one Kurt Russell?
No, he didn't say that.
No, I'm not saying Kurt Russell isn't amazing. I'm saying that cast is an entire squee machine.
Okay.
It's built for joy.
Well, let me tell you what it's about.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter. But it's a faded TV actor and his stunt double embark on an odyssey to make a name for themselves in the film industry during the helter-skelter reign of terror in 1969 Los Angeles. It sounds super awesome, too. Like, beyond the casting and Tarantino being behind it. It sounds legitimately cool.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm sorry, John.
No, I can't wait either. I am excited to see this. And it's every little bit about it. And I don't really get as pumped about Tarantino as some people do, but this cast seems too good to pass up. I mean, this is like, to have this show up right before a Scorsese movie, being with that cast, it's kind of amazing to see them so close together on this list, really.
Seriously, there's really nothing I can say. My number one most anticipated movie of the year. If you took me to a theater and said, Aaron, you have 3 hours to live, and you can see this one or any of the other ones we're going to talk about or have talked about, I go into this movie and I die happy.
The joke's on you. The runtime's 4 hours.
Son of a bitch. I guess I'm going to see Star Wars.
Oh, boy. Bye, John. We miss you already.
How do I eject this bitch?
Well, number three, I can't believe this is number
three.
How
does this movie make it to number anything?
How does it make it in the top 20?
I didn't even know it was still coming out. I figured Disney would have buried it.
Let me tell people what it is.
Who cares? How does it get to number three?
Dark Phoenix from the X-Men universe, coming out June 7th. Yes, another X-Men movie has arrived from director Simon Kinberg and stars James McAvoy. Apparently, he's doing every movie that they've offered
I'm
to him this year.
I'm fine with that, because McAvoy rocks. Makes everything better.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Makes almost everything but these movies better.
Jessica Chastain. Evan Peters.
He's good.
Michael Fassbender.
No, I'm kind of tired of Fassbender at this
Sophie
point.
Sophie Turner.
Getting better.
All right. Yeah, well, that's up. The extent of the
Thankfully,
cat.
She's an adult now. So yeah. It's okay.
Jean Grey begins to develop incredible powers that corrupt and turn her into a dark phoenix. Now the X-Men will have to decide if the life of a team member is worth more than all the people living in the world, which is a good philosophical question to weigh. Mm-hmm. But do you guys care about seeing this movie at all? Or are you so tired of the X-Men universe? I used to love them.
I'm actually... I'm fine. News just came out that Disney is planning on scrapping everything that Fox had planned.
What?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're scrapping. They haven't confirmed it, but that's the rumor. X-Force is dead. Doom. Oh, that's right. The Doom movie's dead. Doctor Doom movie's dead. A bunch of other stuff. Any X-Men movies are dead. They're going to revamp the entire X-Men universe. I'm surprisingly okay with that because I feel like X-Men in this iteration have run their course. It's mm-hmm. time to revamp them. I just can't fathom why people are so excited about that. I love the storyline in the comics, but again, it's the same problem as the last time they tried Dark Phoenix, which was they need more screen time for it. They need two movies, maybe three. John, back me up. Yeah. Two, three. I mean, you can't do it in one.
There's not enough time to tell the story, but I think the bigger part of problem with this is that, especially with the synopsis we just got, because if you remember with, what was the Blueberry movie name again? Apocalypse?
Yeah,
that was Apocalypse, right?
Yeah, that was Apocalypse.
So Apocalypse, you have to try to explain to me how Magneto makes it out of that movie without somebody putting a bullet in his brain pan, but... I guess we can say that Marvel does this, where you have these big, huge scale villains and are killing everything in the whole wide world and blah, blah, blah. But it feels like, at least in Marvel, they own that problem, where this series over here at Fox, when the way they've been doing it is, sure, we're going to have somebody murder a billion people, but then they get to just hang out with everyone afterwards and play chess. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating, and there's no consequence to what happens. And it seems like something like that's going to happen here, too. I'm with McAvoy. I think he can make this better. He's made the other movies actually watchable. I'm tired about with just about everything else about this. I'm ready to see Marvel either A, weave the X-Men into their series with a whole new cast and a whole new breed and a much smarter way of telling these stories. And I'm just ready for it.
I mean, I guess I can't really argue that. I've always really enjoyed the X-Men movies. I've always been on top of them. Really, I own almost all of them, but it is getting exhausting. And I seriously did not need this movie. And there are so many other movies that I need before this one. That's for damn sure.
What I think is great is that Jennifer Lawrence, you can tell her career was not going the way she planned because she did not want to do another one of these movies. She was really excited to get out of that contract.
Well, and then she broke up with her boyfriend, so didn't she?
I don't follow that stuff, so I have no
idea. She's your woman.
I don't think it had anything to do with one had anything to do with the other.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe she hit like a bad spot in life, and she was like, "Well, I'll go back to what I know."
Well, whatever gets her back in that blue makeup is fine with me.
I actually usually enjoyed her character, even though it was kind of meandering.
Oh man, I thought Rebecca Romijn was so much better.
I mean, you're not wrong, but
I'm correct. That's the word you're looking for.
Alrighty then. Well, number two, Avengers Endgame, April 26th. That is the date that you will want to mark on your calendars.
Number two?
Number two.
That's weird.
Just wait till you hear what number one is.
Well, I've already looked at the list.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You have.
So
the Russo brothers.
I will go like, what?
What?
You sound like Scooby-Doo. The Russo brothers are here to tell us how the hell we will come back from that insane Infinity War ending. After the devastating events that came from it, the universe is in ruins due to the efforts of the Mad Titan Thanos. With the help of the remaining allies, whoever they might be, the Avengers must assemble once more in order to undo Thanos' actions and restore order to the universe once and for all, no matter what the consequences may be in store. Our regular team will be back meeting Brie Larson's Captain Marvel, so she will be, I think, a nice addition to this, depending on what you think of her so far that you've seen in previews for her character.
What can I say about this? We already know Spider-Man makes it out.
Shh!
Hashtag awkward.
How do we know?
Because he has his own movie.
True story.
So at least we know he's going to be back on the team.
You know, it's hard to say anything negative or anything positive about it. We don't know what the story is going to be, and Marvel's never let us down with a good movie. They've always either given us good or fantastic. So I'm ready for it.
Yeah, this is one of those movies where what really can we add? I mean, I want to see how they do it. And my biggest question is, can they top what they did with Infinity War? That's a huge bar. I really think that bar is super high. So I'm really looking forward to it. But I'm going to avoid everything. I won't watch any more trailers. I'm not going to read any articles or these theories. Or somebody came up with this brilliant theory of how this happens and this happens. I don't care about any of these big clickbaity articles. I don't want to read anything. I don't want to know jack until that movie comes out.
And if you haven't seen Infinity War, see that and Ant-Man and the Wasp before you go see Endgame.
No, you know what? Don't. Go and take your chances. I want to see what your experience is like to just watch this one and see, you know, how you feel it when it's over. When
you're like, what the hell
just happened? Why do they keep referencing a dustbuster? I don't understand.
All right. Well, number one from IMDb's top 10 of 2019 is Captain Marvel.
Get out.
March 8th.
Get out.
I'm really surprised by this myself, Aaron.
I don't understand it. I mean, that's cool. I'm glad that people are excited for Captain Marvel, but why is that number one? Endgame's not number one. Star Wars isn't number one. Toy Story 4. All of these feel like they would be more exciting for audiences, and I would be wrong.
Yes, you would. Because Brie Larson.
It's the first female-led superhero movie, Aaron.
No, it's not.
In MCU.
Oh, it's not?
No, it's not. There's been many others. Wonder Woman.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly certain.
Well, let me tell people what's going on.
I'm sure someone's going to try to convince you of otherwise.
I know, because people don't acknowledge DC. Like, DC never happened. If you don't acknowledge it, it never happened. Aqua what?
Well, Brie Larson is going to take hold of her role as the first female superhero in the MCU.
What? Wait. What is Black Widow?
She didn't have her own solo superhero movie.
Okay, so
what about the Wasp? Her name's on the second movie.
She was titled with the man. She came like second. Man. It was not about her.
You guys just want the world.
Well, anyway, so she's got her own story. Carol Danvers becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes when Earth is caught in the middle of a galactic war between two alien races. It's written and directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. Are you guys interested in this story? In Brie Larson's portrayal of this character?
I am more interested because of the character than I have been because of the trailers. I have not been very excited from the trailers, mostly because Brie Larson's delivery I found quite bland in the trailers. But I will add to that, I've seen her in so many other things. I already know she's great, so I have no doubt it's just a matter of what I saw. like, I don't know the character, so I don't know the moments or the context. I have faith the movie will be good. But I don't have that Wonder Woman vibe. Like, I saw the Wonder Woman trailer and I was moved. Just moved. And it's how Gal Gadot carried herself, how she just popped in the frame and just owned. You know, as soon as she showed up in Batman versus Superman, she owned. She just captivated me. And just in the trailers, first of all. Here, I didn't get that vibe because we're comparing women to women superheroes, I guess. I didn't get that vibe. I'm hoping by the time I see the movie, I will get it, but I don't have it as of yet.
I'm willing to let it do its own thing, and it doesn't need to try to give me the same sort of vibe as Wonder Woman. It's number one, because it's going to be a hard thing to replicate, and I think looking for that would be a little unfair to this movie. Mm-hmm. Marvel's done some really great things, and if this is going to be the way that they give me a Captain, that it's not Captain America, they happen to give me a Captain Marvel instead, then there's still, even in that exchange, there's some boots to fill that are pretty hard to fill because of just who Captain America was. Captain Marvel is a great character. I really do enjoy her in the comics, and I'm just a little concerned of how it seems so far that she's being portrayed in the trailers. She doesn't seem like someone who's excited or someone who needs to be in her role, but I'm also willing to accept that's probably part of the story.
I'm thrilled that there's another female superhero movie out there for girls to be dressed up as, for them to look up to, feel empowered, and all of those other wonderful terms. Something that's a little bit different. I wouldn't say she's a unique character because I don't really know the character, but she seems like she's...
Sounds like she's in charge of Marvel.
Well, that too. But she's also seeming...
She's literally the captain.
She's seemingly a little bit sensitive and sweet and kind in her... Not that Gal Gadot wasn't in DC's Wonder Woman, but for Marvel, she seems to be that character that they needed to fill. They have all of these awesome male superheroes, which I'm really happy with, but it is nice to have some diversity and have somebody else in there. I am a little concerned from the first trailer. I still believe in Brie Larson. I'll see whatever she does, and I think she's going to nail it. I'm hoping it is, as Aaron said, just how the character and the moments are. But I wouldn't say that I want her to be like Wonder Woman, because Gal Gadot is so much different from Brie Larson in every way. The way they present themselves, their demeanor, how they control people and captivate them.
I'd still swipe the same direction on Tinder, you know what I'm saying?
Well, wouldn't we all? But Gal Gadot does it in a way where she just kind of exudes a lot of physical strength, even for as small as she is. Brie Larson captivates and draws me in with her heart and the things that she says. So until I have those moments, those emotional, powerful scenes, I'm not going to know how I really feel about her character. And that might be why they chose her. A lot of dialogue-driven scenes.
It's no small accident that Black Widow is now finally getting her own solo movie. I feel like Scarlett Johansson, they'd realize that she's not going to come. Look, guys, now this lady, she's never even been part of this thing. I've been in like 18 movies and I don't have my own. Like, all right, give her Thor
Fine.
One. Token Black Widow. Here you go. Yeah.
I don't really care about that, though.
That she didn't have one? Oh, I didn't. She well, didn't
that,
need one.
And also that they're making one.
I don't either. She doesn't need one.
Yeah, it's...
But I'm just saying, she's been in so many movies, there's no reason. The character is popular, obviously. There's no reason to not give her one.
Except for it's not necessary. It's...
None of these are necessary. We don't need...
Captain Marvel, this is our... Well, I mean, it's weird. It's our introduction right before we get to Avengers. But this is our introduction to this character.
I'm saying we don't need any of these. You know, we just...
I feel like
we're
we
happy.
Need Captain Marvel.
She's going to make the world a better place. All right. Well, now it's time to move to our remaining top five. That's our personal picks. We're going to be a lot faster with this. So just tell me what movies are coming out and read them off real quick, the dates and what they're about. And we'll discuss if need be.
My very first movie, I can't wait. He's the one I call Big Papa. It's Godzilla, King of All Monsters, coming out on May 31st. The cryptozoology agency known as Monarch faces off against a battery of god-sized monsters, including the mighty Godzilla, who collides with Mothra, Rodan, and his ultimate nemesis, the three-headed King Ghidorah. This is directed by Mike Daugherty and stars Millie Bobby Brown, Sally Hawkins, Vera Farmiga, Kyle Chandler's making his show in this, and Charles Dance. You guys want to talk about this at all?
No, I'm excited. Yeah, good pick.
Cool.
I'll see it. I'm not excited following for it, but I'll see it.
Following that, we have the actual Captain Marvel, Shazam, coming out on April 5th. See what I did there?
We did.
I'm taking it back. We all have a superhero inside of us, and it takes a bit of magic to bring it out. In Billy Batson's case, by shouting one word, Shazam, this streetwise 14-year-old foster kid turns into an adult-sized superhero of Shazam. God, who do we need to talk about? Zachary Levi being Shazam? I'll go for that. Mark Strong is the villain. Michelle Barth, Digimon Hunsu is the wizard. Adam Brody's in this. It's got a great cast. Anyone want to talk about Shazam real quick?
Yeah.
That looks fun. That really looks like the most fun DC movie that DC had ever DC'd.
Yeah.
That's like accidentally more fun. I don't even know if they were intending it. Just fun.
Well, the character is not impossible to not make Captain Marvel fun because you have such a great aspect of a kid to toy with that. So there's a lot of good things to go with it. Following that up, I have Artemis Fowl releasing on August 9th. Artemis Fowl II, a young Irish criminal mastermind, kidnaps the fairy leprechaun officer Holly Short for ransom to fund the search for his missing father in order to restore the family's fortune. This is directed by Kenneth Branagh, which is the big reason why I want to see this, and stars a whole lot of great people.
I'm excited for that as well.
Then on May 24th, another one I'm really excited to see is Brightburn. What if a child from another world crashes on Earth, but instead of becoming a superhero to mankind, he is proven to be something more sinister? Wow. This is brought to us by the Gunn family. So Brian Gunn, Mark Gunn, James Gunn, they all had their hands in this. Directed by David Yorsky, whatever. He's going to sue me anyways. Stars Elizabeth Banks, Meredith Hanger, David Denham, Matt Jones, and Jennifer Holland. Scary Superman. What do you guys think?
I think DC is going to get sued.
You mean the other way around?
Or they're going to sue them. Somebody's getting sued is what I'm saying. There's going to be litigation. You can't jack with, although they did just hire James Gunn, so that must be part of the deal. Can I release my movie? I'll write your Suicide Squad 2 movie. All right.
All right.
I think it looks great. Super sold.
Yeah.
Looks boom. Cool. Looks interesting.
And finally, of my picks for the year that I'm really excited about, Chaos Walking, releasing on March 1st. A dystopian world where there are no women. Can we just go there now?
I'm in.
Hey.
Wait, there are no women? I want all women.
No women.
I want to go there because then I become a man.
Because you're definitely not now.
I'm not.
No. Right. And all living creatures can hear each other's thoughts in a stream of images, words, and sounds called noise. This is directed by Doug Liman and stars Tom Holland, Daisy Ridley, Cynthia Erivo, Mads Mikkelsen. There's a lot of women for something that has no women.
I was going to say, where are these women coming from or where are they staying?
Yeah, that's interesting. Anyhow, dystopian future movie, I'm in it. Let's talk. What do you guys think?
Daisy Ridley, check. Tom Holland, check. This movie, check.
Okay. Doug Liman is what the only thing gets me really excited. Yeah, Tom Holland. I don't think the kid's great. I'm not sold on this. Tom Holland's the best thing ever.
I wouldn't say he's the best thing ever.
He's fine.
He's enjoyable.
He's better in small doses than he is leading. I like Daisy Ridley though quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right,
all right.
Well, it's John's. Amanda, you or me? You pick.
I'll go.
Okay,
because it's in that order.
Because you feel like talking more.
Got it. It's in the order. That's how you set it up. Number one, Pet Sematary. So excited for this movie. And it comes out April 5th of this year, where Mr. Creed, his wife, Rachel, and their two children, Gage and Ellie, move to a rural home where they are welcomed and enlightened by the eerie Pet Sematary located near their home. After the tragedy of their cat being killed by a truck, he resorts to burying it in the mysterious Pet Sematary, which is definitely not as it seems, as it proves to the Creeds that sometimes dead is better, based on Stephen King's novel. Also, the first movie was pretty great.
The remake looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number two.
I'm okay.
Just okay? You're not a Pet Sematary fan or what?
The first movie was just okay for me. I didn't really get into it that much. And I Stephen King is not something that I have to watch every single time.
Oh, man, you're just wrong a lot.
What about A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, John? Where two-time Oscar winner Tom Hanks portrays Mr. Rogers in this movie, a timely story of kindness triumphing over cynicism based on the true story of a real life friendship between Fred Rogers and journalist Tom Junod. I don't know how to say his name, but apparently he's important. After a jaded magazine writer is assigned a profile of Fred Rogers, he overcomes his skepticism, learning about empathy, kindness, and decency from America's beloved neighbor.
What's new? You Are My Friend?
No, they changed it. It's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
That's the new name?
Yeah. It's October 18th that it'll come out. And it's Tom Hanks being the coolest, sweetest, kindest.
How many
kindest,
Mr. Rogers movies do we need tonight?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's Tom Hanks. It's going to be amazing.
He's got plenty that's not amazing.
Where?
Let's bring it down, fan.
Find it.
A lot.
The 90s?
Wrong.
Bonfire of the Vanities?
Forrest Gump came out in the 90s.
Okay, that's one.
He just said all the 90s were not his time period.
Hey, you know what? Some things coast over the water and most things bury underneath.
Whatevs.
And this sounds like my kryptonite, honestly. It's like, I'm going to come out of there a changed person and we don't need that.
Aww.
I mean, I'm cool.
Don't you want to be happy and sweet and loving?
Now I kind of want to take John to see this.
Yeah.
What's next?
Dumbo. Visionary Tim Burton brings Dumbo back. A young elephant whose oversized ears enable him to fly helps save a struggling circus. But when the circus plans a new venture, Dumbo and his friends discover dark secrets beneath its shiny veneer. Eva Green, Alan Arkin, Colin Farrell, Danny DeVito, and Michael Keaton comes out March 29th. Are you guys pumped?
My heart fluttered.
Aww.
When I saw this trailer, it literally fluttered.
Yeah.
So I will be there.
I've seen when I was a kid, I used to watch the Dumbo cartoon at least once a month. And every single time I watched it, I cried.
Oh, my God. That's so sweet.
Can I just tell you, out of all the revamps they're doing this year, I don't know what's the final number, 27? I don't remember. But whatever Disney's doing, this is the one I'm most excited for.
It also kind of has the visual appearance that reminds me of The Greatest Showman, which makes me excited.
I just want Dumbo. I don't need.
He looks so cute.
He's adorable.
Oh my gosh. I've never wanted to like snuggle with an elephant because they really do like poop, but I want to snuggle with that elephant.
Okay. That's an interesting turn.
What is happening?
You say that every time I talk.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Number four, Us, from writer-director Jordan Peele, who is quickly becoming a favorite of mine for his uniqueness.
He's made one movie.
No, and he's also talked about a lot of other projects, and he's also trying to get independent screenwriters to submit their scripts.
That's awesome. He still only made one movie. Can we bring it down the hype about how I can't wait for... I get it.
The concepts are interesting, and he seems like a unique person.
Number two brings it home. Before we put him on this pedestal, everybody seems to have put him on. I'm sure he's a wonderful director, and I thought Get Out was fantastic. Let's see where we go. Or good. I'm sorry. Very good. Not fantastic, but very good.
Well, I'm saying his uniqueness is as a person in Hollywood, not just him as a writer-director. He's quickly becoming a favorite of mine as a human being because he is advocating for independent screenwriters. He's trying to get their works made. He's doing creative things.
I admire his utilization of that. Yes. I'm just saying as an auteur, he's got one movie.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
And a whole lot of crappy movies. What was that cat movie? That movie sucked. Whatever that, I can't remember the name of that
cat
one.
Cat movie?
Keanu.
Oh. Yeah, that movie sucked. God. And I was never a fan of the show, but here, he seems to have found his niche.
Yeah.
All right.
In horror.
Sorry.
A mother and father take their kids to their beach house expecting to enjoy time with friends, but their serenity turns to tension and chaos when some visitors arrive uninvited. Sound familiar? It might. Stars Elizabeth Moss and Lupita Nyong'o. Oh. I don't know if you say the O or not.
You say the L.
Okay.
Yeah. But just keep doing it like that. That was great.
It comes out on March 15th.
Cool new horror. I can't wait for it. It looks like a unique twist.
Cool new horror?
Horror.
Oh.
Horror.
Number five on my list is Jumanji 2, which they haven't come up with a new title yet, other than it says untitled, but it also says Welcome to the Jungle. So I'm not really sure. That seems pretty titled
Jumanji
to
2.
Me.
We'll just go Jumanji 2.
Comes out.
Or 3. Jumanji 3. It's actually Jumanji.
Should be Jumanji 3.
Technically. But it says Jumanji 2 on IMDb.
Well, that's because they're like Jumanji Rock version, the second.
Yeah. Anyway, so comes out on December 13th, and literally it just says plot kept under wraps.
Yeah.
So it's the sequel to the first one, and that's all you get to know. Mm-hmm. But it will have Awkwafina added to the cast. Kevin Hart, The Rock, Karen Gillan, and Jack Black will all be ready to rumble and play this game. And I'm excited. Roll the dice. You going to go see it?
Well, I'll probably see it. But it's around Star Wars, so I'll probably see Star Wars first.
What? Really?
What does that mean? Nick Jonas is coming back too, right?
They didn't say.
Yeah, I didn't see anything about that.
I didn't see.
How do you not bring back Nick Jonas? He's a part of the game too.
Yo, I'm not
really.
Is that in charge of casting?
Is that the thing you're most excited about? Is Nick Jonas? He's on his honeymoon.
He just got married. He's not worried about trying to take jobs. He's got a rich mama.
Good for
now.
Him. Still, he's kind of great in the things I've seen him in recently. I'm okay with more Nick Jonas on the screen.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, but it's not gonna make or break me going to see this.
Racist.
He's white. All right, so my first pick, In the Tall Grass on Netflix, the date is currently unknown. After hearing a young boy's cry for help, a sister and brother venture into a vast field of grass in Kansas, but soon discover that there may be no way out. This is a novella that was written by Stephen King and his son, Joe Hill. It was originally published in two parts, and Patrick Wilson stars in this Netflix adaptation. The reason I'm so excited for this is Netflix has done a solid job of adapting King stories. Gerald's Game is a prime example. I thought that book was unadaptable, and they did a stellar job. And to see them bring in a really interesting tale from both him and his son just has me ready to jump. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, it's Netflix. I'm not going to not watch Netflix.
You don't have to get up.
And it's only $2 more.
It's worth it.
Yep.
Everybody. Now this, I'm so excited about Shaft. I loved Shaft. Shut your mouth. I love Shaft. Coming out June 14th, 2019. John Shaft Jr., a cybersecurity expert. They brought him to the modern age because he has a degree from MIT. Doesn't sound like Shaft. Shaft's from the streets, man, with a Z. Enlists his father's help to uncover the truth behind his best friend's untimely death. Stars Jesse Usher as Shaft Jr., and Sam Jackson and Richard Roundtree both return for this third generation sequel. Man, I'm excited. And if you never saw the Sam Jackson version of Shaft, Christian Bale is a great bad guy. And so is from Westworld. Plays Bernard.
I don't know.
Oh, Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright. He plays a Puerto Rican, and he's great. I thought he was Puerto Rican the first time I saw it. And then only after I saw it did I find out he was an African American. I'm like, what? Well done. Just goes to show, actors act. Okay. In Knives Out, November 27th, 2019, a modern take on a whodunit murder mystery. That's the plot. That's literally all anybody knows.
And that's all you care about.
That's all I care about. It's from Rian Johnson, who everybody hates from The Last Jedi, but loves from Looper and Breaking Bad. I really find him to be a really wonderful dark crime writer. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this ends up being. It's right up my alley. It's got Chris Evans, Daniel Craig, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
That is literally your alley. That's where you sleep at night.
That's my alley. More up my alley, if you can believe it, is The Woman in the Window, October 4th, 2019. An agoraphobic woman living alone in New York City begins spying on her new neighbors only to witness a disturbing act of violence. It's based on a great book by A.G. Finn. I highly recommend it if you haven't read it. Stars Amy Adams, Julianne Moore, and Gary Oldman. It's very Rear Window-esque, and the book has numerous twists and turns that I really hope the movie will incorporate. It's actually, please read the book. The book is great, and how it reads, it actually goes day by day by day. Like, as the days progress, it's just, instead of chapters, it's like October 27th, October 28th. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a really cool way to tell a story.
All right, well, you sold me.
I got one more. Zombieland 2, October 11th, 2019, they're back. Columbus, Tallahassee, Wichita, and Little Rock moved to the American heartland as they faced off against evolved zombies, fellow survivors, and the growing pains of the snarky makeshift family. Abigail Breslin, Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and somehow they figured out how to get Oscar winner Emma Watson to all return with the same director and Ruben Fleischer. How does anybody not want to see this?
I'm so in. Did you say Emma Watson?
Emma Stone.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be great if Emma Watson showed up?
Heck yeah, but I was like, when did she get an Oscar for Harry Potter?
Hermione is in Zombieland. She's taking Bill Murray's role.
Super sold.
Yeah.
So I can actually see that. She said, I can just see her like running through brain and zombies left and right.
She saves everyone.
That would be great. All right. So we wanted to take a second and extend our thank you to our Patreon supporters before we move on to TV, who donated at patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. A new episode of Bad Movie Night, which we covered basketball.
Or, whoop, whoop.
It was really fun. And welcome new or returning Patreon member. He's new and returning. I don't know which one he falls under, but Jack Saint. So thanks for coming back
to the
Hollywood Outsider. His new film, he's actually a producer. His new film, Paranoia Tapes 2, is now available on Amazon. And he kindly mentioned the Hollywood Outsider in his film. So that's very cool, man. Thank you on both fronts.
Finger guns to you.
Don't, no. We don't finger guns on the show. There's a rule.
Why is everything I do a new rule? Why does it get established after I do it?
John understands.
Well, because you make everyone feel uncomfortable, and then when you start writing it down, and it's like, oh, there's a rule right here.
I just wrote it down. Do you see?
Okay. Now I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As a side note, are you still talking about Patreon?
Yes. And you go to patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider.
You should do that. And you should also leave us a review. But
on iTunes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jumanji 2. They have not said anything about Nick Jonas, but they have added Danny DeVito and Danny Glover.
That's a lot of Dannys.
Danny. I guess D2.
He's not too old for that.
Double
shit.
D's. Anybody excited?
Yeah,
about
but he is.
Yeah, he's definitely too old for it. All right. We do have two spoiler-free reviews. We are going to move to these very quickly. The Upside is first.
Well, Philip is a wealthy quadriplegic who needs a caretaker to help him with his day-to-day routine in his New York penthouse. He decides to hire Dell, a struggling parolee who's trying to reconnect with his ex and young son. Despite coming from two completely different worlds, an unlikely friendship starts to blossom as Dell and Philip rediscover the joy of living life to the fullest. This is a dramedy with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, loosely based on real events, but more so the film The Untouchables. Aaron, you and I both saw this, but I want to get the elephant out of the room right away.
That's a horse.
That is that, not that, an, was, that was horrible. Know. Dumbo is offended.
No, some if we had more money, we would have real sound effects. But instead, I have to do them for you.
Well, I've heard so many people say their hesitation with seeing this movie is Kevin Hart, and they just don't think he's that funny. I saw it and even mentioned in my review that I felt he was more grounded than usual in his humor, but would you agree with that? How do you feel about Kevin Hart's humor in this movie?
Yeah, and I could cover Cranston quick. He's great, like he always is. Bam, done. Kevin Hart was the real surprise because I get burned out on Kevin Hart. I've seen so many of his comedies. I mean, I see a lot of his humor coming. It's a lot of screaming and bouncing around instead of, it's not really nuanced comedy. It's always the same kind of joke. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Here is the first time, it's got to be the first time I've ever thought he was a real character. And he really came across as someone that I could relate to, that I sympathize with, that I empathize with. And also he made me laugh. And every joke that he told was very natural, very of the moment, as opposed to just hyper realization. I mean, just hyper stylized, just over the top. It was none of that. It was always very natural and flowing. And it was a big surprise because I really did not think he would be that good. I thought he would be fine. I like Kevin Hart. I didn't think it would be where I was impressed, and I was impressed. He stood up with Cranston, and Cranston is a great actor.
Yeah, seriously. I think if you just watch the trailer, you won't get the vibe that his humor is a little different because the quote-unquote funny part
on his
demeanor, which is seriously only in one scene when they're in the parachute where he's, ah! So other than Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, which we know he's amazing, what about the movie was memorable for you?
Well, I think you can probably get the gist of it, and it's, you know, it's a remake of a French film, which
was The Untouchables.
Which was a huge hit, and it's based on a real life story. If you go
loosely,
but go look it up, it's actually really fascinating. The characters work, the movie works because the friendship works, and they actually do a really interesting thing where they start the movie where they're already friends. You don't know what the point in their relationship is, but they're already friends. And it already feels like they're friends. You know, we don't have to be introduced to them to get the vibe that these two like each other. They get along. They get each other. And that's what the movie is. It's really about friendship and learning to live again and learning to move on and to accept who you are. Both of these characters have to accept who they are, and they do that because of their friendship. It's really a beautiful story.
One quoted by the Alamo may say that it is about the fragility of humanity.
Okay, egomaniac. Let's go.
What is your score on The Upside out of, if the full price of admission is $10?
$7.
Wow. I'm kind of surprised because you are usually a little bit lower on comedies.
Up until the last 15 minutes where it gets a little bit more drama than even, I never stopped enjoying myself. Never looked at my watch. It's a movie that was 100% made. It's the right movie to go see if you want to enjoy a night out at the movies. Covers awesome. All the bases. Hits all the quadrants. Critics didn't love it. This, you know, Amanda liked it. She wrote a nice review on it. But a lot of critics didn't like it. I honestly think they just got this one wrong. I can't understand it for the life of me, because this is not a movie where I can see their points. Venom, I understood some of their points and stuff. I don't understand, because this is a good movie. This is a really good movie.
I think it was really just Kevin Hart humor issue.
And now we go to On the Basis of Sex. Wow.
Wow. All right. So Amanda is going to be the one who talks about this the most. But so give you a little backstory on what this movie is about. It's the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her struggles on equal rights and everything she had to do to overcome and become a U.S. Supreme Court justice. This is directed by Mimi Leder and written by Daniel Stiepelman. So, Amanda, how does this story unfold for you?
It was actually kind of beautiful, and I was a little worried going into it because I was fearful that it was going to become very political, and I think a lot of people are a little worried about that, if it's going to have how she felt about things or if it was going to throw anything in your face, and it really doesn't. It is just about the beginning story of how this helped to eliminate discrimination on the basis of sex, not just for women, but also for men. And the case that was used is a story for a man, and that's what the plot is. It's revolving around this man who is trying to take care of his mom, and he gets a lawyer because they do it pro bono, and that's why Ruth goes for it, because he is not eligible for a tax write-off, for this caretaker tax write-off, because he's a man, and the law was pretty strict that for you to be eligible for it, you had to be a woman, because no man is going to be the caretaker and help out. So it was very interesting to see that they decided to stay away from all of the political side of things, which they could have definitely gone for. And it was just a story about what, obviously, you see the struggles of what Ruth went through as a woman trying to get her career launched as a lawyer, doing all of the hard work for her husband as a lawyer, and then he gets the high esteem of reaching his goals. But you don't really ever see that relationship break between them. And that was kind of beautiful as well.
Okay. So a lot of the movie rating aggregators have nothing but great things to say about this. But one of the common themes that I saw about the people who had negative comments to say about this movie was that the entirety of the movie is a cliche, goes from one cliche to another cliche. Did you feel that way about it?
I don't think I agree with that. I think they handled the story very well. I mean, it's the storytelling, I guess you could say, is cliched, where they, you know, they seem to hit the beats on how they want to. They're timed pretty well. But I don't feel like the story was cliched. It's kind of a real story. How can you cliche that? They didn't seem to, and I haven't researched everything, but fabricate too much. And what was told felt legitimate. Like, while I was watching it, I was like, okay, I'm watching the real events unfold in front of me. And it just felt like it was good storytelling. And it wasn't over dramatized, and it wasn't anything that was used for additional effect to try to, you know, enrage a fuel of feminism it wasn't anything against men, and it wasn't, you know, it was just a story, and that was what made it so powerful.
All right. So how did Army and Felicity do?
I enjoyed them quite a bit, and I think they complemented each other better than I would have expected.
Okay. So what's your final score?
I will give this one 750.
You liked it more than The Upside?
I did.
Really?
I did.
Did you walk out of there like pumping your fist? Like,
wow. I walked out of there crying. I seriously was so, I didn't mean to start crying. And it wasn't like how I normally tear up in movies. It was so overwhelmingly powerful to see how this transition occurred that I was crying in my next movie at the beginning while the trailers were about to start.
And that was Replicas, right?
Yeah, that was
Replicas.
Which
we're not going to talk about, but that makes sense why we would cry in that one, based on what I've heard.
I didn't read any reviews going into it, but...
I believe I tried to warn you.
You did. You did. Mm-hmm. It was Keanu. I had to support the man.
That's good, because I know he's struggling, right? Financially, he's really having a hard time getting through. Okay, and that's going to do it for this week's episode. Next week, we're going to come back with TV. We might have talked about doing it this episode, but actually, because we went so long, we're going to do television next week. So we'll have a whole episode of the best TV to look forward to, as well as our Glass spoiler cast. That's going to be pretty exciting. Okay, any, John, Amanda, any recent film or TV recommendations we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, I've actually been getting caught up on this show on the Netflix called You.
Yes!
And it's been such a great ride. I've really been enjoying it. And if you like crime, killery, fun stuff, this is the one. This is for you.
This is the stalker show where it's wrong to stalk unless you're super hot, right?
Dexter with Love. Mm-hmm. I loved it, John. I can't even believe you're watching it, but it was so good. There was a couple episodes where you could tell got a little like involved in the lovey-dovey stuff, but it pretty much held with like a very Dextery vibe in almost every episode.
Yeah, I would say that it's like Dexter meets Kiss the Girls minus a lot of the death and adding a little bit of comedy to it.
Yeah, I keep hearing that I should watch this, but I'm busy. That's all I got. I'm busy. I've heard great things, but I know it's a cliffhanger that it ends on, and there's a season two. I don't know how Stalker's going to go longer than season one.
Well, if you watch the show, you'll find out how it ends.
Or I could not watch the show and just rewatch Game of Thrones, because that's what I plan on doing.
Or Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because the new episodes have dropped for the new season.
Oh, boy.
John, don't we have a deal? She's not allowed to say Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I think I just got $100.
You did?
Where did $100 come from?
We had a bet on if you could make
a
whole episode.
Go look at my bank account. There's not $100 there.
This isn't about you. John and I have a bet.
Oh, you guys. Oh, okay. Well, I don't care who gets the money then.
All right. Well, you can't say it again because you're kicked off the show the next time you say it.
That's not fair. I think you asked for film or TV recommendations that we haven't previously discussed. This is a new season.
You discuss this every week.
New season. New year, new me, man.
You can comment on this episode in our Facebook group or on Twitter at Buy Popcorn. Our site is thehollywoodoutsider.com. Email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Come back next week. Troy Heinrichs from The Blacklist Exposed and Beyond Westworld will join us to talk about new TV. Subscribe, and review us in Apple Podcasts if you could.
Please.
If you could. You can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at rjohn.draws, Amanda on Smirk and Veronica's Marshmallows, and me and my other podcast, Smirk, and with Troy on The Blacklist Exposed. And remember, the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn. That was ominous.
It was not, but I appreciate the effort. This year is chalking up to be pretty good for me. But I really wanted to audition for this Mamma Mia play, and the auditions are...
Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia.
Different one.
Beelzebub.
You don't even know the words.
Why do you sound like you're high right now? You're like, hey, I was talking to Adam, and...
she didn't take a nap or something. That's what
it is.
She's just like,
Yeah. Wake up.
I'm so excited.
I'm here.
Hello, hello.
You're here, but you totally sounded like you were in Colorado calling, escaping in.
Do you have pot stock?
Yeah, I have actual stock and actual pot companies in Canada.
Wow.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Huh. Are they high, the stocks?
Huh? So dumb.
That's what I was trying to do. I just want a little more baritone. And you guys are agreeing that my voice sounds better this way? Like what you're hearing? Because what you hear isn't what I'm going to hear.
Your voice sounds better. You sound more like a man.
Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. Hang on, was I recording? I was. Never mind, I'm going to go back and do this again.
Woo!